Are we ready? The Eugene Oregon Show, take one.
They're small.
And now, direct from Radio City off Kendall Square in Cambridge, USA, it's the new Eugene Oregon Show. With Gene's guests, Calvin Coolidge, Greta Garbo, and special guest star, Minerva Uricle. Brought to you tonight by Vatican City, your one-stop religion headquarters, and McDonald's Bordello, over 8 billion served. Now, here he is, syndicated columnist for the Cambridge Daily Reamer, Gene Oregon.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks to both of you for being in the audience here tonight for the first show of the Eugene Oregon Show. And I want to talk to you about doctors tonight. I went to see my doctor the other day, and he tested me for a few allergies. The last test was a real lulu. He strapped a burning match to my chin, and when my skin started to blister, he told me I was allergic to fire. Actually, I told him that it hurt when I moved my arm like this, so he said, "Don't do that." I've had every disease in the book. Unfortunately, the book that I'm talking about is Everything You Always Wanted to Know About Sex But Were Afraid to Ask. I have a lot of problems. You know, I was chosen poster boy for National Obesity Week last year. Now, being fat has its bad aspects. And if you've ever had your aspects, you know how bad it can be. Also, you know, my teeth are in really bad shape. But I hate to see my dentist. I mean, my dentist is a real clown. You may have heard of him, Dr. Bozo. He can be really unnerving. Every time I go in, he starts humming, "Oh, the Yanks are coming." When you walk in.
Slow on that one, Paul, just slow.
Great audience tonight. He says things like, "Be true to your teeth, or they'll be false to you." But I got back at him. One day he told me, "You haven't got any cavities," and I said, "That's all right, drill anyway, I feel lucky today." Well, I better go before I come down with a case of something, like a case of Johnny Walker Red. We'll be right back after this important message from our sponsors.
Three, two, one.
Great detonation, Albert. You can take over now. Oh, hi. I'm Dr. Wolfgang Hasenpfeffer. Haven't you always wondered what it's like to be an atomic scientist? I'm not a genius. I knew I wasn't cut out for college, but I wanted what most people want out of life. A high-paying job with a good future and a feeling of power that comes from working in the exciting world of thermonuclear physics. So I enrolled in the famous scientist school of MIT. There I was taught by famous scientists like Sir Isaac Newton, Dr. Einstein, Dr. Zeus, and our director, Dr. Livingston, I presume. Sound interesting? Send for our free science talent test. We'll ask you questions like these.
1. If your reading lamp went out, what would you do? A. Shake the bulb. C. Shake the lamp. B. Stop reading. Or D. Set the lampshade on fire and continue reading. 2. If you were standing in a vacuum with a cannonball and a feather and dropped them at the same time, what would happen? A. The cannonball would land first. B. The feather would land first. C. The cannonball would squash your foot. D. The feather would tickle your fancy. Or E. Your lungs would pop. 3. Which one of these two straight lines appears longer? This one, this one, or this one?
If you answered both of these questions yes, then you have the potential to enter the dynamic field of atomic physics. Well, I've got to go relieve my assistant while he takes care of a leak. But here is a man who'll tell you how to get started.
Classes are forming now. For your free science aptitude test, call this number now or write the famous scientist school of MIT.
Not affiliated with the Massachusetts Institute of Technology or any other educational institution.
Good grief, it's almost showtime and you're not even in costume yet. I've got troubles enough.
Oh, I haven't seen him in years. Does he still play the musical spoons?
What are you talking about?
Old trouble's enough. We used to work together in Buffalo.
Look here, you can't let me down.
But my shoulders are getting sore.
That's not what I meant. The show must go on.
Not with me, it won't. I've had it.
How long have you had it?
Oh, about 3 weeks now. It goes nice with the suit, don't you think?
I already have troubles. May hasn't shown up yet, and she's supposed to open the show.
Are you sure May is missing?
No one can find May anywhere.
Oh, this is terrible. Now June will come right after April. But that doesn't make a damn to me. I'll not go out.
You have a contract with me, you aardvark. If you try and back out now, I'll report you to AFTRA.
Why? I've always been kind to animals.
No, no. AFTRA, the American Federation of Tattered and Rejected Aliens. Your union.
The only union that suits me is the red one I wear in the winter. Now help me get out of this straitjacket. I'm not going on.
Leave it on, you stupid toad. You have to appear.
Why?
Why is a very crooked letter, Gene. But what am I supposed to do with the props?
If you take them out, the sets will fall over.
Not the props, the props. I've got a 1954 DeSoto out there, along with three Tigers, a Thompson 50 caliber submachine gun, and five beautiful women in bikinis.
It's interesting you should mention that. It reminds me of a date I had one time.
The only time.
There were three beautiful girls there telling me how handsome I was.
Handsome? Ah, no one ever accused you of that before.
Those are fighting words.
What makes you think so?
Well, see, it says in the script, fight. My, this certainly is relaxing.
Yes, and you took my line there also. Aren't sound effects men wonderful?
Yes, but enough of this tomfoolery.
Hey, guys, that's your cue. Shut up. We still haven't resolved the basic issue here, Gene.
I should say not.
I'm glad we can agree on something. Now, you know you have to go out there and perform, don't you, Gene?
I suppose so, just as soon as we get all these people out of the auditorium.
Don't be ridiculous. They're the whole reason we're here.
I doubt it. I think these microphones have something to do with it.
Can't you just stick to the script just this once?
Sure, my copy has peanut butter all over it.
No, no, I mean read your lines like they're written.
Exactly?
Yes, exactly.
All right, K.O., just a minute here, you Phil.
You can go ahead and ignore the typos like usual.
I'll have you know I'm a first-class buckle swisher.
That's swashbuckler, Gene.
Right, I'm a swashbuckler from way back. You just bring out a swash and I'll buckle it with my bare hands.
I hope this conversation has left its mark on you.
I should say it has. It's right here by my belly button. Would you like to see it?
See what?
Why, it, of course.
Is it of course?
Yes.
Of course what?
I think it's of course 21.
Oh, I see, of course.
And just in time, too.
You mean the commercial?
Of course.
Hi, I'm Bruce Peck, and I wrote the book How to Get a Teenage Boy and What to Do with Him When You Get Him.
Got any tips for guys, Bruce? I mean, I spend loads of money on a date, and then I don't even know what to say.
Why don't you take her to the library? You won't have to spend loads of money, and they won't let you talk.
Hey, that's great, and since I won't be close to her, I don't have to use any of your crummy medicine. Thanks, Bruce.
Say, what are you doing after the show?
Well, that was how it started that night, lo, those many years ago. But I don't think that Gene and I would have argued if we had known what was to occur. Just as he was about to step out on stage.
Say, why did you turn your head like that?
What do you mean, that's not your line?
But you turned your head just as you finished the line and...
Can't you see where it says in the script, fade off? I turned my head to fade my voice off, and they cued you to start the new scene. That's radio's way of indicating the passage of time, if you can't afford an orchestra.
Oh, I get it.
Not yet, but you will. Just as he was about to step out on stage.
What's going on here?
There's been a terrible fire.
Most fires are terrible. What happened?
It burned down the theater.
I'll still go on as long as there's one board, one light atop another, one costume, one spotlight, one microphone, one transmitter.
Well, let's see. Here's the damage report. Not one costume, not one board atop another, not one spotlight, not one microphone... Not one transmitter, All we have left is a slightly charred audience.
That's good enough for me. My audiences have said they've been getting burned for years.
So, nervous as he was, he went on stage. As he wrote at the time...
Nervous as I was, I went on stage. At the time...
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your rapt attention, please? While you are waiting for the ambulances, may I present to you Eugene Oregon.
No!
minute. Hello. Hi there. Yes. Funny thing happened to orchestra and all the rest of the actors. They died in the fire.
Too bad it missed you.
Thank you. Thank you. I knew you'd understand. I'll start off tonight with this slightly fire-damaged volunteer from the audience and show you five nasty things that you can do without an umbrella. One, two, three, four, five. Well, there you have it. Five nasty things you can do.
Six.
Well, if it feels good, fella.
Great, great show, Gene. Let me introduce you to this reporter.
I'm blind from the sun.
Don't tell me. Tell Blue Cross.
No, I'm a reporter.
Oh, why didn't you say so? I'm Eugene Oregon.
Listen, don't tell me your troubles. I want Eugene Oregon.
I'll see if I can find him. Here I am.
It's a pleasure to meet you, sir.
Yes, it is. You know, I knew a reporter once.
How well?
Deaf from the bugle. You can't
Never
say that.
Heard of
it's
him.
Not in the script. You fool! He was handicapped in a hunting accident. He later became a music critic and drama editor for the Tech.
Tell me, Captain, what's your favorite pastime?
Baiting reporters.
Does this explain your antagonistic attitude?
No, but that's why I don't like them.
That's ridiculous. You're a loser.
Look at this face. Is this the face of a loser?
It's ridiculous. But what about me?
You're ridiculous. But enough of this foppish frivolity. I want my manager.
Yes, Gene?
I want you to get rid of this man. Get him off the air.
I know just how to do it.
How's that?
What we need now is a commercial.
Why did you turn your head like that?
Gee, Sylvester, I don't think you like me anymore.
Any more than what, Gloria?
Oh, be serious, Sylvester. What is it you don't like about me? Is it my false teeth?
Oh, no, Gloria. Your teeth are like stars. They come out at night.
Is my eye patch crooked?
No, Gloria. It's as straight as the other one.
Well, then, maybe it's my figure.
No, Gloria. I think 225's a lovely figure.
Well, then, Sylvester, what is wrong with me?
Gloria, you have the fizzies. You know, that water frothing out of your mouth. Leaves your brain dry and wrinkled. That's a gray matter. You should use Aquatine 23.
You mean if I use Aquatine 23, you'll like me again, Sylvester?
I think I hear my mother calling me Gloria. Bye.
Now, why would his mother call him Gloria?
Hey, don't sing the fizzy blues. Your brain is 69% water, and frothing at the mouth can make you lose most of this precious supply. Aquatine 23 is the natural way to help stop the fizzies, because it's mostly water, too. And Aquatine 23 contains a golden drop of hexachloroform. So lick those fizzies. Use Aquatine 23.
To wrap up this fiasco, Mr. Alan Baumgartner's 10 flying phalanges on his dynamic organ.
That does it for another Eugene Oregon show. This week, we are ashamed to admit that the cast included Harry Klein, Alan Baumgartner, and Paul Schindler. Special technical assistant, Sherry Grobstein. Musical director, Alan Baumgartner. Your engineers have been Paul Green, Jeff Rubin, and Sassy John Tenthumbs. This program was written, produced, and misdirected to everyone's lasting regret by Gene S. Paul Jr. Executive producer, Paul Schindler. The audience appears courtesy of Massachusetts Home for the Technologically Incompetent. This is your announcer, Ralph Radio, saying good night and better luck next week.